listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine here with Ron Kitchens. Ron, we've got a great topic today. It's great to have you on, man. This is going to be fun.
I'm excited to be here, and thanks for joining us.
We're going to talk today, though, about strengths, and this is a topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts. It's been transformational for me as a leader, I know for you. And when we talk about strengths, I just want to remind our listening audience that strengths can be identified in a number of ways. We're going to spend some time today talking about this idea of strengths from kind of the Gallup Strengths Finder perspective, but in a very general sense, it's about what makes you feel strong and how you're hardwired as a person. So I just wanted to give our audience some context there, Ron. Let's just start at the beginning. What are your top five strengths?
So according to Gallup, they're strategic, achiever, learner, maximizer, and futuristic.
Wow. And I've got five myself. They're positivity, woo, maximizer, activator, and strategic. So we share a few of those, and we're going to dive in to this idea of strengths and how we can lead with them. When you think about your strengths, Ron, when you read them, when you read the definitions, is it spot on?
Yeah, I think it is, particularly when you read the definitions. And, you know, for me, strengths were one of those things that I never really understood the power of until I really began to study it. So for me, strengths were a way to brag. You know, people would say, you know, I'm an ENFJ or, you know, I'm a maximizer or whatever talent analysis they were using. And I thought, yeah, they're bragging. I don't know what those things mean. But after I really began to look at strengths, it became clear that it gives me permission and a responsibility to be great at what I can be great at. But to clearly understand that there's some of those things I'm not good at, and I better surround myself with team members who are good at the other things that are important to us. So for us as a team, we've spent a lot of time figuring out what we need on our team to be great at, and then making sure we're hiring people who are great at those things, not great at the things that look just like mine. And a lot of organizations just hire the same person over and over and over.
Well, there's a couple things about strengths that I think people miss that you get as a leader and that you try to encourage at Southwest Michigan First. The first of which is that strengths is about diversity. You just talked about it, that we shouldn't have a group that are all the same, but it also takes work. Like, strengths don't become strengths unless you invest skills and time. Talk about that investment that leaders should make in their strengths.
It's easy to use sports analogies, and so I try not to. But this is one of those that lends itself. Because you're naturally born with the muscle structure, the physical structure, the capacity to be a runner, doesn't mean you're ever going to be a great runner. You have to go put the work in. You have to go run the miles. You have to study body movements. You have to have the drive and the willingness to win. That's the same thing with strengths. Just because you're blessed with the ability to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball doesn't mean you can make it in Major League Baseball if you also don't have the discipline to work hard, to eat right, to learn about how to throw multiple kinds of pitches, to study the hitters, to know who can hit what kind of pitches. So just having a strength is no guarantee of success. Every single person in prison has a strengths profile. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be a success. So leaders have to understand that you have to invest in people's strengths, not in their remedial abilities. And that's another thing that a lot of organizations and leaders don't get is, you know, it's the thing of the kid who comes home with five A's and a C. And what do we do as parents? Our natural reaction is go, what's the deal with the C? How could you get a C in algebra and you got an A in chemistry and an A in history and an A in civics and an A in PE, but you got a C in algebra? Well, you know what? You as a parent have to know the difference between is that child slacking off or are they just not hardwired to be great at algebra? And if you invest your time and effort and their time and capacity in trying to be great at algebra, They'll never be great. They'll be frustrated. And then you'll see it pull down all of their strengths. All of a sudden, they may be able to get to a C+ in algebra, but guess what? They're probably at a B in everything else.
Well, Ron, I want to stay there for a minute about the prioritization of strengths over remedial things, because many of our listeners today are living in environments where they have an annual review and there's this 20-point list of all the things they suck at. And then there's two things you did good this year, right? And so we still have a predominant thought that weaknesses should be our focus, but you're saying not so.
Not so. And as a leader, you've got to understand where your team's weaknesses are. Or I didn't even think of it as weaknesses, where they're not strong. So, you know, I don't hire a sprinter and then say, I'm going to measure you on how you do at the shot put. Yeah, it's a track and field event. They wear the same exact uniform as you wear, but you need to be good at the shot put too. That's a ridiculous thing to do. We would never do that as leaders, but we do it every day.
Yeah.
With our team members. We expect them to be good at things they're not. So one of the things we do, and you know this because you actually manage it for us, is we have a spreadsheet that has every team member on it and their strengths. So when I'm working with team members, when we're sitting down for what we call our 440s, our regular reviews every 40 days, I'm looking at their strengths and their weaknesses so I know that I'm not judging them and pushing them on areas they're never going to be successful at, and I'm not allowing them to do that to themselves, because we do that. We look at other people's highlight reels.
Yep.
Highlights of what they're successful at, and then we look at ourselves and we go, oh, I'm not any good at that, so I better go look at that. If you're that sprinter, you're never going to be great at throwing the shot put. It doesn't matter what you do. Go be incredible at what you do. And you got to measure against your own expectations.
Can you be a high-performing, high-impact organization and not know your team members' strengths?
I don't think so, no. You may measure it differently, but I look at great organizations like General Electric. You know, GE, and if you read Jack Welch's books early on, was very strategic about analyzing the strengths of a really deep pool of their leadership and using those strengths to give assignments, to give opportunities to build people up. As they grew their company, they had to understand what the strengths were and the capacity, and then go recruit for people who had the skills they didn't have in-house. So, you know, if you look at Apple, does the exact same program. They use different verbiage, and that's one of the things that gets a little confusing for folks, is great companies have their own vocabulary when they talk about strengths, and so it seems a little scary, it seems unattainable, but when you understand the fundamentals of it, and there are lots of great companies that do work that can help you on it, there's great books around the talent and strengths area. Once you understand that, I don't know these days how you build a diverse, thriving organization that doesn't clearly understand and maximize its team members' strengths.
Well, and some leaders are running away from this strengths topic. A, it feels, you know, soft skilly, which we both have debunked that myth. But secondly, it's because it's hard to measure, but you can actually measure the outcome of those strengths. Talk to us about what you do in the 4x40 process, which all of you have heard before on the Always Forward Leadership podcast. What do you do there to help hold accountability around measuring what we're doing with strengths?
So we begin each year sitting down. Every member of our team sits down with their accountability partner and says, here's what I'm going to do this year. Here's the expectations. Here's the number that measures them. Because you can't have a goal if you don't have a way of measuring the success of it. There's a reason they have finish lines at races. There's a reason they have timers in sporting events. There's a reason that we measure the ends of things so we know when we've achieved our goals. So you have to have those in place. But you've also got to have individual goals that may be shorter than the year. And so we're talking about, what are you going to get done? What are the four big things you're going to work on in the next 40 days that we're challenging people to do? Now, the interesting thing there is still, with as much as our team understands strengths, with as much as our team understands the process we go through to bring people on, we get about a third of the time that people will want to work on things that are remedial. That they'll go, you know, in the next 40 days, I really want to get better at this thing. And as we talk people through, they realize they're never going to be great at that. Now, let's be clear. If you want to graduate from high school, you have to pass algebra. That's how it is. So you got to be competent. But there's a difference between focusing resources, time, talent, and treasure, on something that you're never going to be great at versus focusing those same resources on something that you can go from a personal best, you know, running a race record to a world-class score on that. And that's about understanding your strengths are and putting the resources, the time, talent, treasure against those strengths. So as much as we know it, our human nature still says, I want to be good at everything. Guess what? You're never going to be good at everything. It's never going to happen.
There was a groundbreaking study that Gallup did that studied average readers. Some of our listening audience has read or heard this analogy, but they took readers who did about 90 words a minute, and they invested a reading program and all kinds of help to these readers. And they went from 90 words a minute to 150 words a minute. And then they took readers where they had real talent in reading. They started at 350 words a minute, and they invested the same program, same investment, 2,900 words a minute, right? So there was an exponential jump when you focus on your strengths and understand people's strengths in your organization. Answer this question for me, Ron. How does knowing strengths in yourself and your team make you a better leader?
It gives you permission to not be perfect. So there are things, clearly, you know, we listed what my top five were. I have a bottom five too.
Sure.
And so I, as a leader, have to understand what they are. I have to clearly know that I have to surround myself with people that can manage. And really, in most leaders, it's probably your bottom 15 that you've got to manage against and have people around to know which of those are important and have people surrounding you who can pick up that for you. And to be clear that you will never, ever be great at everything. And to acknowledge that, accept that, and it's not an excuse, it's a fact of who you are. It's the same as, you know, my pear-shaped body is never going to be great at slam dunking the ball. In fact, I'm not sure I've touched the net many times. So we have to acknowledge these things. But it doesn't mean I can't shoot from 3 points.
That's right. Yeah. So let's go home on the always forward theme. How can organizations and leaders right now move further, faster forward on this topic of strengths?
So, you know, I think the simplest thing is go buy StrengthsFinder books for your team. Every one of those books has a strengths analysis in it that'll give you your top five. Begin that dialogue with your team. You know, one of the things we did when we introduced this is we took everybody's top five, we put them on a 3x5 card and put a number on the back of the card. And so you knew what your own number was, but you didn't know what anybody else's number was. And then we passed the cards around. We read the strengths. We had definitions of all those strengths, and then we began to guess whose card belonged to who. Amazing thing was, everybody knew whose card was who. Everyone knew, clearly identified those strengths, but we didn't have a way of acknowledging them and understanding that. You know, I think then you can go to the next level once you see the power of this dialogue of, you know, doing the full analysis, and I don't know what that is, $75 or something. But it gives you all of your strengths. I'm there, 32,
all 34.
34.
Yeah, sure.
And then you can begin to see that analysis and you begin to look and say, now I know why I always felt bad about myself. I'm not hardwired to be great at that. And there's a freedom that comes with understanding who you are, where you can be amazing and not constantly putting yourself in a battle against remedial. There's no great organization that has ever existed who focused on remedial.
Ron, this topic of strengths is mission critical for organizations that want to be high performing. Thanks for sharing your thoughts today on the podcast, and we're looking forward to talking to all of you next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at Ron Kitchens.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you're hungry to learn more about strengths-based leadership and coaching, there are two great books that can help you learn more about the strategy, StrengthsFinder 2.0 and Strengths-Based Leadership. This isn't just another personality test. This will have huge impact on your leadership and help your team grow by leaps and bounds.